We're happy to have Kelly Monahan with us, a publisher and owner of the Intrepid Traveler, author of a new book, and the book is called The Other Orlando. Good morning, Kelly. Kelly, I'm really pleased that you've written this book for a number of reasons. One, you know, there is a lot more to Orlando and to this whole area, and as we say, the name of the book is What Do You Do When You've Done Disney and Universal? And, you know, what do you do? Let's start with you've got 10 of some of the greatest myths about Orlando. Let's start out with that.
Oh, well, the big myth about Orlando is it's just theme parks. There is a ton of things to do in Orlando that have nothing to do with the theme park experience. And mind you, I'm a big fan of the theme park experience.
Yeah, as I am as well. Yeah.
There are also a lot of museums. There are a tremendous number of opportunities to get out and do physical things, you know, golf and fishing, and to do some very exciting things, like even piloting a jet plane if you have the money for it. There's also a tremendous art scene in Orlando, and it seems to be growing every year. There are some world-class museums. There's a vibrant theater scene. There's a great nightlife scene in Orlando. As some of your younger listeners may know, Orlando has a reputation for being something of an incubator for boy rock groups.
And, right.
O-Town is one of them that I know, and there's a
Boys
lot
to
of
men,
opportunities to see new rock stars right. on the way up. So
Britney's
tons of things.
Yeah, Britney Spears for one, in fact.
Exactly. Britney Spears got her start. One of her first acting gigs was working on a TV show that was shot in Orlando.
Right. And the Backstreet Boys came from there. But, you know, it's really important. It just so happens that my youngest daughter is going to UCF, so I'm a little bit more aware of what is going on out there. And you're right, there's the ballet theater, there's opera, there's Shakespeare. It's all there. And what I really appreciated is that you mentioned that one of the world's largest collection of Tiffany glass is at the Cornell Museum at Rollins College.
Well, actually, that's at the Morse Museum, which is close to Rollins College.
Okay, yes.
There
okay.
is another museum at Rollins College that has some old masters and American
right.
art. The Tiffany collection is at the Morse Museum,
exactly, I'm
which
sorry.
Is just down the road from Rollins. And you're quite right. It's an absolutely stunning museum. It really is terrific.
And you also go on to say that, you know, there's so much more than the glitz and glitter. And when you mention... there are beaches close by. I mean, you drive to the east, and what are you, 20 minutes, and you're at the beach.
Well, it's a little farther, longer than that.
Depends on how you drive.
You can get to a beach, but there's a terrific place to go swimming that's much closer at the Wekiva Springs State Park. It's just north of Orlando. It's one of the most beautiful swimming holes I've ever laid eyes on. It's in this natural green amphitheater. It's a circular pool that's a natural spring. It bubbles up a constant 72 degrees year-round, crystal clear water.
Yeah.
It's just lovely.
And then, of course, you say, of course, there's only one Mickey, and we love him dearly, but it's possible to spend months in Orlando area and still stay busy every day.
Well, exactly. You know, when I first wrote The Other Orlando, which was back in the mid-90s, I thought, oh, well, this won't take long. It took me nearly 2 years of research to get the book done, because every time I thought I was finished, I discovered that there was something else to add. So it's true. You can spend months there and probably not get to see everything there is to see.
Now, what's also interesting is the dining around Disney, not just on Disney site or the Universal site. You know, there are lots of good restaurants, obviously, and there's some great theme restaurants. And interestingly enough, they're going to do this. The new dinosaur theme restaurant will be coming there soon, and the Asian theme one will be on board. From the same fellow who did the Rainforest restaurants.
Right. It's something that people don't know is that Orlando is another kind of incubator or test lab for restaurant concepts. The folks that brought us Red Lobster and Olive Garden are located in Orlando, and they've just recently launched a new concept called Seasons 52, which I think is one of the best restaurants in Orlando, despite the fact that it's a chain.
Right.
It's devoted to seasonal produce and ingredients that are prepared in a very healthy way. Nothing on the menu is over 475 calories, something that you won't believe once you've tasted the food. It's really terrific.
And as you say, I mean, some of these theme restaurants, these chains, have really good, interesting places and have good food.
That's right. Oh, and while I'm thinking of it, now let me give equal time to the dessert lady, now that I've talked about the healthy place to eat. There is a wonderful little place in Orlando, not too far from the Universal Orlando theme park. A little tricky to find, but worth seeking out. It's called the Dessert Lady, and it serves nothing but desserts and fine wines.
Oh, wonderful.
And it is some of the best desserts you will ever put in your mouth.
Now whereabouts is that? Because I'm not familiar with that one.
It's just up Kirkman Road near Conroy in a strip mall. At the back of a strip mall that's on your left as you're driving north on Kirkman, approaching Conroy Road.
And it's called the Dessert Lady.
The Dessert Lady.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, my favorite thing they have there is a key lime cake. Not a pie, but a key lime cake.
Interesting.
That stands about 10 inches tall. It's absolutely magnificent.
Well, my bionic belly, I'm going to keep it away from that for a while, though. But as you say, though, there's these wonderful little places. And you know what I really appreciated that you did with this book is that you talk about the other places. Cypress Gardens, the Kennedy Space Center, Busch Gardens in Tampa, all very close to Orlando.
Right, exactly. By the way, I should say, in fairness to your readers, that the other Orlando doesn't really cover the restaurants except the ones in the larger theme parks. But there is a book out by a friend of mine, Bob Mervine, called Orlando Chow, that does cover the restaurants that I've mentioned, and that's also is worth seeking out.
Yeah, interesting you should mention that, because Sally sent me a copy of that, but I haven't gotten around to having him on the show as yet. As you can imagine, we get an awful lot of stuff, and we try to cover as much as we can. But I will. I've got to read through that again, and we will have him on, because I think that's all very important. And what brings it to the surface is this book that you've written. Tell us a little bit more about the book, if you will.
Well, The Other Orlando comprises 18 chapters, and the first several chapters cover the major theme parks that aren't Universal or Disney. As you mentioned, the subtitle is What to Do After You've Done Disney and Universal.
Right.
So it covers SeaWorld, Discovery Cove, the Holy Land Experience, Gatorland, Cypress Gardens, Kennedy Space Center, and Busch Gardens Tampa, which is now very confusingly been renamed Busch Gardens Africa, even though everybody still calls it Busch Gardens Tampa, including the people who work there.
Right.
And then after that, I cover the water parks and the dinner attractions. We haven't mentioned that yet. I think, don't hold me to this, but my belief is that Orlando has the largest concentration of dinner attractions of anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I talk about all the various other things to do, roadside attractions, museums and art galleries and performing arts, all of the sports that's local to the Orlando area and not too far away, places where you can take train rides and plane rides and boat rides, and places where you can actually get behind the wheel and drive go-karts or planes, for that matter. There's also a lot of hot air ballooning that goes on. And there's a chapter in the book on shopping. Shopping is a favorite activity for people who go to Orlando, and I cover everything from the high-end shopping to the flea markets.
And I think it's particularly important that you did cover Cypress Gardens. I haven't been there since they've reopened it, and there for a while I thought we were going to lose it after that storm, and we just thought that was the end of Cypress Gardens, but one of our journalists has been over there and covered it and said it's absolutely magnificent.
Right. I think that people who remember it from the old days may be a little disappointed. They had to make some compromises to keep it going. There's not quite as much horticulture as there was before. They've contracted out the gardening to an outside organization, and you know, people visiting for the first time wouldn't notice, but the floral displays in the original botanical gardens are a little simpler than they used to be, not quite as elaborate, and with not quite as many plant species. And also they've cut back on things like the ski show and the ice show. They're using fewer performers, and especially in the ski show, some of the tricks and stunts aren't quite as elaborate. But still, it really is a wonderful, wonderful place for people who enjoy a kind of a slower paced experience. And one of the great things they've done is they've added a whole section of amusement park rides on a sort of a small scale, the kind of thing you might see at a well-appointed county fair. But it's a tremendous place to take the kids and let them run wild and have a good time on the rides while Grandmom and Grandpop sort of stroll through the gardens and take it easy in the more sedate parts of the park.
Well, we're glad to have it back, and we want to thank you, Mr. Kelly Monahan. The name of the book is The Other Orlando, What to Do When You've Done Disney and Universal. Give me your website.
TheOtherOrlando.com is the name of the website, and while they're there, they can get a sneak peek at the book and see if they like it.
Kelly, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
Hope to talk to you again soon.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Kelly Monahan.